Is that a strange thing in this day and age? Vulgarity and music? No.
Well, no.
Hey, you're listening to Ray Tessie from Starship Republic on Comic Pop Library. Live long and prosper.
Of comic popping manga style, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan.
And today's episode, we are going to be looking at Tokyo Ghoul Volume 1 by Su Ishida. And this is brought to you by Viz Media. It is another one from their Viz signature. So this one is geared for a little bit more mature audience. Shy King Kaneki is thrilled to go on a date with the beautiful Riza, but it turns out that she's only interested in his body. In eating it, that is. When a morally dubious rescue transforms him into the first half-human, half-ghoul hybrid, Ken must survive ghoul turf wars, learn more about ghoul society, and master his new powers. This came to the U.S. in 2015. It was actually done in Tokyo. It was actually done in Japan 2011. So, as always with the manga, it is a little bit behind from what they actually received in Japan. This one is an oversized book. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those that it's not a smaller one. It's a little bit bigger one. So if you're used to the Black Lagoon size, it's roughly about that size.
Yeah, it is.
So it's a little bit bigger than normal. This one, again, it's a darker in tone. The main character, they said, is Ken. And him and his friend is his friend Etiku is at a cafe. They're eating lunch and everything and just having a good old time, I guess.
Yeah, good old time.
And they're young gentlemen. They're probably college age. Young freshmen, maybe. Maybe sophomores at most. I don't think it'd be too much older than that.
Well,
they seem to be college age.
Yeah, because his friend is in college, I believe.
And they're both the same age, because I think they went to school together.
Yeah, roughly around the same age.
And Etiku flirts with one of the waitresses. And another girl comes in that's really pretty. That's Riza. And Ken says, "Ooh, I want to meet her." And yes, of course, he does get to meet her, sets up a date, and then things go downhill from there. So I don't know if that's typical of any relationship. But
right.
In this one, it is.
Yeah. I've got to admit, this was not one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, you said that, but that's fine.
Because to me, the story, I mean, I understand the concept of it, but to me, the story fell flat with Ken. Because Ken is such a wuss. And
it is cannibalism that he's mean.
It is cannibalism. You got there. That's true.
But, I mean, it's not technically cannibalism because the ghouls aren't humans.
Close enough.
So,
looks like cannibalism. You can see that. Say that. They didn't really say where ghouls come from.
No,
of course,
not
it's
yet.
Part of the supernatural world, and they're going to be there. They try to stay hidden.
But I don't think that the ghouls are really necessarily human. I think they just disguise themselves as humans.
Yeah, they look human.
Close enough to get I don't know if it's organ transplant to work. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's a disguise person. Sorry, Logan. Yeah,
it's effectively human.
Yeah, effectively human. But I don't think it's a disguise. They're just, that's their makeup.
Yeah.
Because I guess they have enough, like Logan was saying, they have the right parts that they can put into an actual human.
Yeah, as demonstrated by main character.
Yeah, so we guess we got to go into that. Yeah. Rizza and King get together, and not together, but they get and have a date. And she, of course, transforms into a ghoul and tries to eat him, because the only thing that's tasty to ghouls is coffee and human flesh.
Yeah.
So she tries to munch on Ken. Munch. So that's one of the things with this book that gets a little bloody and gory.
Right.
And so then, expect that. But somehow an iron beam falls and hits her and Ken. A doctor is close by.
Yeah. And kills her. Ken survives.
Well, Ken survives because of the doctor taking part from Rizza. Because they're rushed to the hospital. The doctor says, I don't know how. I guess they did a quick blood test. Oh, this heart. I think it's the heart and kidneys. But he's like, Ken's basically dying.
Right.
Rizza's pretty much squashed. But her organs are fine. And he goes, but Ken's aren't.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, I can take hers and put it into him and stitch it back up.
Yep.
And that's basically what he did. And that's how Ken becomes half human, half ghoul. And he has to. And he takes on certain traits of a ghoul.
Right.
Not all, but some. The changing of eyes, he has one that's completely changed all the time, so he has to wear an eye patch.
Mm.
But he craves human flesh. Everything else tastes like crap. And he likes coffee. So there you go. Coffee's a serval.
Right.
That's what we take away from this. Coffee's a serval.
And like, they don't drink coffee. They actually get the beans and eat the beans.
I think they drink it too, though, don't they?
I thought they ate the beans a lot too.
Right, as part of their meals.
Right. Because I think in one scene they were grinding up the coffee beans and putting it on top of their food.
To make it taste like something.
Yeah. I guess in a way it's kind of like iZombie because
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce, yes. Exactly.
We haven't reviewed that one yet, folks, but it's in the works.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. Yeah, season one. I think most of us have seen it already. So
we could also have just reviewed the comic.
The comic is completely different from the show, dude.
Huh.
Yeah, it is.
I think I only read at least the first volume, maybe.
Yeah, it's completely different from the TV show.
Yeah. But with Tokyo Ghoul, Ken kind of takes himself away from people. He's starving for human flesh. He tries to deny it. But lo and behold, the waitress that his friend was hitting on, whose name is Taka Kirishima, she's actually a ghoul as well. And so is the cafe owner where she works, Yoshimura.
Yep.
Which is convenient. And it helps progress the movie. Helps progress the manga faster, of course, with all those coincidences. But she finds him, has an arm, severed arm from somebody that she's chopped up and ate. So here, you need food. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm human. So this is where Jonathan's weepiness comes into effect. He doesn't really want to eat humans because he still is half human. And that's where comes Logan's.
Yeah, it's pretty much cannibalism. Kind of forced cannibalism, but it is kind of cannibalism.
Yeah, a little bit forced cannibalism. But this is one where the first book is more of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
There is some action. They do meet another ghoul, and they talk about the turf wars that they're having, and that does arise with one of the other characters that comes into play. And Taku pretty much kicks his butt and says, this is my territory, get lost, because Rizza's no longer alive. And she's basically taken over until Ken, I guess, can get some manhood back and protect his own turf.
He needs the manhood, that's for sure.
But this is one where he's struggling with what he's become and denying himself. So it's that type of a story. Whether it's going to be played out through future books, not quite sure. But hopefully he'll man up. Like I think eventually he might. The Viz signatures have a tendency to be more story-driven, so it takes a couple of books to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it another couple of books to see how it goes. What about you, Logan? Did you like it well enough? Jonathan said he was kind of
It seems moderately better after the after this.
After this. Everybody can see that. After this, guys.
Around halfway through the book, it gets halfway through the first volume.
Kind of elaborate what after this is.
About halfway through the first volume.
What part are you talking about?
After he's encountered the one guy who wants his territory back.
Oh, okay. But even after that, I felt like the story just kind of felt flat because he finds out that his best friend is roommates with the other ghoul. And he's just like, should I tell him? Should I not tell him? I'm kind of scared to tell him. I'm scared of this dude. And it's just like...
Well, it's kind of like, for the most part, it seems like the ghouls try to find people that aren't going to be missed.
Right.
And if you have a roommate and then all of a sudden your roommate is missing, people might suspect him. So he might actually be kind of safe with that guy.
Right.
Because he's wanting to put an air of legitimacy or normalcy to his life.
The main character does not think that he's safe.
No, Ken doesn't know. And to a degree, he's not. I mean, if a ghoul gets angry enough, as Ken's shown doing, you know, they'll go after you and they'll chomp. And it doesn't matter if you're alive or dead, they'll chomp. So it's real close to a zombie, but not quite.
For me, I thought it was more of a zombie ghost hybrid.
Ghost? Where are you getting the ghost from?
Okay, yeah.
Just their facial structure and the way that they have it. Like, let me see.
Whose facial structure? Taku or Tuka? Because Riz has passed away.
And see how she's transforming there? It looks zombie and it looks ghost-like.
Not sure where you can ghost from it.
Is that a memory, though?
No, that is when she transforms, when she first meets him, because she tries to eat him.
Right, that's RZA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's her transforming. But for me, that's like just the shape of her face and her eyes and stuff and the shape of her face. And her teeth, they're kind of like the canine, like zombie canines. But the shape of her face and her eyes, I get ghosts.
No canines at all.
Just the way it looks?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a trick that they do in manga. If you have a white border,
she's closer to present tentacle day. Monster.
I'm sorry, Logan.
What? She's closer to tentacle monster.
Whoa. What?
Yeah. She has tentacles.
Oh, that's her power. That's... Ghouls have certain powers too, and it's kind of a. This is where maybe your ghost part comes in. It's kind of a spiritual power. They can form. It's kind of like a chi weapon, I guess. Maybe I don't know.
And then, when you think about it, a ghoul is actually a hybrid of a ghost. So, I believe I'm correct on that. Let me make sure.
Google. But to go back to my point with mangas, if you're new to reading them, or if you're a librarian, not quite sure what's going on. If you have white borders, that's pretty much current time frame. And when you have solid black borders, that's usually a memory.
I didn't even know that.
So, when you're reading a manga, that's a key to when they're remembering something in the past. So, that's why I asked Jonathan, if it was... You know, when I saw it, it was a memory because it had all the black borders around everything instead of the white. So that's a key for anybody that's just starting to read manga or looking at purchasing manga for a public library and is trying to read it. Hey, look.
I'm looking it up right now. Keep talking.
Keep talking. One of the things with this is the artwork in this is fairly... I'm not going to say typical manga because it does kind of take some realistic artwork, but it does have manga traits too. So it's kind of a blending. When it gets into the violent mode, it really gets really hyper-extended though. It wants to convey the horror of the ghoul and the horror of eating somebody. So in those instances, it kind of gets a little bit hyper-extended. To me, the artwork fits perfectly with it. Like I said, Su Ishida is author and artist.
Okay.
Both.
So, a ghoul is from the ghost world.
Okay.
It is, they are far more malevolent and might have inspired a horror film or two. An Arabic legend, a ghoul is a creature that eats both stolen corpses and children.
Okay.
So
they take a little bit of a spin on it.
Right.
Because I can eat anybody in this one.
So, in a way, I was kind of right when I said it was a ghost-zombie hybrid, because you know, a ghoul is part of the ghost family. So,
yeah. And so, yeah, so that kind of makes sense. It's one of those, and they usually, with eating the corpses, hang around graveyards.
Yeah.
But with this one, they also eat living flesh, too. And that's the main difference, I guess, is they go after the living rather than the dead, per se.
Right.
They can eat dead flesh, but they tend to go after the living. And it seems like they go after the people that, like I said earlier, won't be missed or right. doing something bad. So they're criminal element types, so they'll get them. So, but there's another element that just wants to be killer crazy ghouls. They don't yep. care.
And they kind of got into a little bit of
just
that.
Just a smidgen. Yeah.
It wasn't a big, big element, but they kind of got into the element on that.
There's a bigger world out there in the ghoul universe than just his little area.
Right.
And his little group of people that he's finding out about. And one of the things is with his one eye being constantly being transformed, because a ghoul looks like a human, like Jonathan said earlier. But when they get ready to attack or hungry,
they transform.
Their eyes just bug out, basically. And Ken just has his left eye, I believe it is constantly just bugged out like a ghoul. It won't revert back to a normal eye. So that's why he has to wear that eye patch. He's styling, by golly.
So, well, he's constantly hungry.
True, he's constantly hungry as well, because at this point, at least in this book, that's for sure. Whether he gives in to his base hunger, that will have to be gone into. I know that's probably going to be one of the features. The main conflict with him is, does he give in or does he stay?
Right.
More
and
true.
And like you were saying earlier, you know, you had to read 2-3 more books into it. And for me, on this first book, it fell extremely flat. And I've said this before. I'm going to have to read the second one to see.
Just to see.
If I'm going to continue reading it. Because for me, this one was
a little slow.
A little slow and a little flat. And, you know, there's supposed to be horror aspect in it. Not horror, but horror.
Mm-hmm. Or.
There's a little bit difference in what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Ken likes to go flat on his back or anything like that.
We'll see you later, mangas. No.
But
no, I don't think that's not this type of book. No, they're not going for that. They might. It's a brutal book, though.
It is a brutal book, but for me, it's not dark enough yet. It's not horror-esque enough for me. I'd have to.
Well, I don't think the horror is the scary type horror. It's the ooh, gross type horror. Cause
and I don't
the
even
blood
get that.
Is flowing.
I mean,
oh,
I don't. Okay. I don't even get that. I'm just like,
you're one of those desensitized kids that have grown up with all this stuff.
And I'm just like, this is supposed to make me like crawl under my covers and shiver.
Oh, I don't think that.
But even with
the ooh factor,
even with the ooh factor, it wasn't there for me. It just wasn't. Mm. I was just like,
Yeah. So here's a guy kicking another guy's head off, basically. Boom.
And see, you know, you see that so much on TV nowadays. It's just kind of like
you see a guy kicking another guy's head off. Do you? On
yeah.
TV.
I mean, like it's nothing new.
Too much Walking Dead, I guess.
Because even like on a family show like iZombie, they showed decapitation. Like one of the cases on there was, you know, they had to solve a case of a decapitated people, and it was an issue for, I can't even think of her name right now, but it was.
Oh, give me the lion. I have no clue.
It was an issue for her because that's how she got her visions, and that's how she saw the cases was from eating their brains and, you know, no brains. So, yep. I mean, like, when you say that a guy's kicking another guy's head off, I'm just like, meh, I've seen it.
What about you, Logan? You've been awful quiet this to go around.
I've also been finishing off the manga from where I left off.
Wow. Any thoughts, though? You've mentioned a few things.
They get to introduce a few of the other ghouls than just the main cast, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and that's kind of towards the end of it, where the Not all of them are at the end. They're kind of sprinkled throughout, but they get into the larger society more towards the end, where they're talking about you have this society, part of the ghoul society, that wants to try to be as good as possible, but still eat humans. Yeah. And the other part that just don't care is like, let's have dinner. Mm-hmm. So, and brisket is served. So,
yummy. Let us enjoy some of this scrumptious brisket.
Rump roast takes another.
I don't want any factor. Kind of dot rump roast. Y'all is going to enjoy that rump roast.
Oh, yes. But this will be one that. There's nothing really bad in. It's just hyper-violent for the most part.
No, I mean, there's not... like I was saying, I mean, there's violence in there, but it's not like, ugh. And it's not like...
Well, to some parents, it might be, ooh.
Well, I mean, much. To some parents, it might be.
Much that cannibalism is the only thing I can see that would be... Too much for it.
And that's the hyper-violence when they're you know, chomping people up, cutting people up. And this is one where it's geared for a 16 and older market. That's right. What Viz Signature is about.
I agree with that part. And I think that if the story progresses more and I can enjoy it more, then I will continue to read it. But, you know, I went out and purchased their first volume because people were making...
This is great.
...raves and raves about it, and I read it, and I was just like, meh.
Meh is not a word.
Or, meh. This isn't so great. I did not enjoy this. Here you go, Richard.
Yep, and like I said, Jonathan was nice enough to donate to the library, so we were needing a new copy for it, so that was great to have him do that for us. So that's a kudos to him. But this is one smaller libraries. If you have an interest in it and you have a fandom in your library, you could put it in there. You're going to have to tell your readers it's a little bit of a slow burn. Might take a book or two to get into it. Mm-hmm. With the medium size to larger, should be fine. Just be aware, you know, it is 16 and up, you know, so you want to place it properly within your library. For a personal library, it just depends on if you're a fan of this type of genre. If you like the horror genre, the ghouls, you might get into it. Go to your local library, give it a shot first, get the first two or three.
Yeah.
Since Jonathan, you know, he didn't have as good of an experience, I didn't mind it because I'm used to a few of the slow burns. Mm-hmm. I think one of the ones in the past, and forgive me, I can't remember the author's name, but Monster... was one that was a slow burn throughout the whole series almost.
And see, I actually enjoyed that one.
Right. So you can get into, you know, different things will happen. This one has its slow moments, also has its faster moments, so it'll go back and forth. But this is one, if the medium to smaller ones want to pass on it and get it through interlibrary loan, I don't see a problem with that. Larger libraries should be more than fine there. You'll have a readership for it because of, if nothing else, the anime series. I think it's in its second season now for the anime, so there will be some readers for the original work. And that's going to do it for Tokyo Ghoul by Shu Ishida. So if you're interested, be sure to pick that up for your collections. Some of the things that we've gotten in through either Twitter or Facebook, we have a couple of things here. We reviewed Jason Achilles Mozilla's music. He's an instrumental rock person that gets into that. And we looked at one of his songs and wrote about it in his music video and put it up on the page. And he just wrote back and said to us and City Bird PR that sent us the video, cheers, thank you. Thank you as well, Jason. So appreciate you letting us listen to your single there. Another group that was sent to us through City Bird's publicity was Son of Sound, and they let us listen to their single Home, and they wrote back to us and says, thanks to Comic Pop Library for the Son of Sound love. So right back at you, Son of Sound, we appreciate the love you're sending our way. So, and this was one that was a rock hip-hop single, so that was another one that was a lot of people would probably like. And then lastly, some of our friends down in Oklahoma in Tulsa, and also in Wichita, we put up that we went to AFW. We haven't done on the road about that. We probably will at some point in time. But AFW is for Anime Festival Wichita, which is in Wichita, Kansas. We met up with Suzanne Lambden and DC and Michael McGannon and their family, Holly and Nathaniel. We had and then Cheyenne showed up later, so we had a fun time visiting with them at AFW. And one of the cool things that DC and Michael did for us, they have a new yokai book out, short stories of Japanese yokai, and they actually mention us in that book. So very cool of them to do that for us. So thank you to the McGannons for doing that. That's very, very cool. If anybody else wants to get in touch with us, you can email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. You can send us Twitter or a Facebook message, or just post on our Facebook page under Comic Pop Library in both applications, Facebook or Twitter. And when we get them, we'll read them on the air. If I happen to miss them, I apologize, but we try to get all of them.
Jonathan? I wanted to give out a shout out to DC and Michael McGannon on here as well. I recently have done a review on Michael's book, Hollow World Escape from Limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike DC has posted that review on his publisher's page. So I wanted to give out a shout out to DC and thank you for doing that. I appreciate it a lot. And it was fun doing the review for him.
One of our co-hosts, Lenny, he has published a novel of his own called Zombie Waltz, Volume 1. It is available at Amazon, whether a print or Kindle edition, or you can go to Zombie Waltz page on Facebook and get in touch with him with a PM, and he will get in touch with you, and if you want a signed copy, he'd be more than glad to send it that way. We've been fortunate this year to be blessed with several different people that has talked with us and visited with us, so thank you to everybody that's been doing that for us. Is there anything else? I think that's about it.
I think that's about it.
All right.
Keep tuned for Comic Pop Library. Keep tuned for Jonathan's Room.
Anyway, we're having fun here. Hope everybody out there's had fun listening to us as we talk about Tokyo Ghoul Volume 1. We'll catch everybody on the flip side.
Bye.
See ya. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. Now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well,
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.